I want to apologize for the rowdy children in this corner. I've never met them. I don't know who they are. It reminds me, years ago, we were doing a Christmas pageant at another church, and so they had the 5 and 6-year-olds up doing a little skit, and I was sitting behind two of the grandfathers, and of course, the 5 and 6-year-old signs, and all of a sudden, the two grandpas look at each other, and they go, "Not my grandson. No, it's not my grandson. No." Anyway, good morning. It's nice to see all of you. A couple of announcements before we begin. Did you all get a copy of the Daily Bread devotional book? So make sure you've got. And if you know of others that might benefit, there's extra copies. So take them on your way out. Did you also get the calendar for 2021? Okay, so make sure you get that. And for those of you that haven't checked your book slot yet, please check that on your way out. That would be much appreciated. Are you all ready for Christmas?
No.
Okay, so those of you saying yes are all lying, and those of you that are saying no, I think it's marvelous. It's above zero. I thank the Lord that we can go around and do everything we have to do. Don and Donna are the only exception, and so we'll be praying for their depression. Anyway, let's quickly go over things. Christmas Eve, 7 o'clock service here at the church. And if of that in any way have a reading or you'd like to sing something or you have a suggestion for something to sing, let me know. And that'll be Thursday night, of course, at 7. Ladies, you're going to resume again January the 6th. And our men's group will resume in January. And our Bible study will resume on January the 14th. So, and then this Saturday, I do believe, is there prayer this Saturday? At 7:30 here at the church. Right. Okay. Thank you, Jim. All right. Some birthdays. I want to wish Phil Farrow a happy birthday. And I feel sorry for everybody who has birthdays at Christmas. Don't you? It's like they get ripped off. But anyway, so for Phil and Brian, and Crystal also has her birthday on the 26th, the day after Christmas. And Steve and Don, of course, have an anniversary this week. So those are, I think, all the announcements. Is there anything else we need to bring everybody up to date on? Sheila's doing really well. We'll talk about her in our prayer time, but okay, let's open with prayer, shall we? Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you in this place, and we are so grateful. Father, we just want to acknowledge that in this Christmas week of 2020, that we are going to keep our eyes on you, because you're working as much this year as any other year. And so as we head into this very important week, remind us, first of all, that you're the reason for the season. And then help us to have ways that we can honor you in the midst of a world that is stressed out in so many different ways. And so, Lord, bless our time, and may we sense your presence this day as we sing these great carols of faith, as we open your word, that indeed we will be blessed and just know that you're working powerfully in our lives. And so bless our team now as they come and as we sing together. In your name we pray. Amen.
Morning, everybody. It's almost Christmas, so I thought I'd dress up a little Christmassy, and we're going to sing some Christmas songs today. So let's stand and sing Angels We Have Heard on High.
just thinking when Phil and any of us went la 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 la. It's amazing that, you know, you think you know songs, and won't it be great next year when we can sing without masks? Yeah, I tell you, we're going to sing it. And I was thinking Go Tell It on the Mountain. I'd prefer if we sing Go Tell It on the Caribbean. Florida? Anywhere? Anyway, Gord says he's praying for 95 degrees. I said, don't ask for much, but I'm right with you, brother. Anyway, Go Tell It on the Mountain that Jesus Christ. Team, thank you. Those were great. That got me. All right, let's take some notes for praise, first of all, this morning. Who has something they want to share with us? Grace, please.
This morning, I have a song in my heart for about an hour, a same old song, and it was one of the best songs I've ever heard. It was What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine, Reading in the Living Everlasting Arms. And the chorus is Beauty, Beauty, Sacred, Secure.
Yes. What have we to fear? What have we to dread? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Yes. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I'm giving you a cue, Donna. Jump in any time, okay? But, you know, joking aside, I think that's so fundamentally important. How many times we're in a situation where the Lord brings a song or brings a scripture. And I think it behooves us to start, because it would be really easy just to go to, she loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. She goes, I mean, that goes nowhere. But, you know, somebody made a lot of money out of that one. But anyway, good point. What a fellowship. What a joy. Leaning on the everlasting arms. I get waves of frustration. I can go along through the week and be fine, and all of a sudden I'm so cross and I'm so angry and I'm so upset about manipulation and everything that's going on. And, you know, we need to remind ourselves. Christ is solid rock. I'm standing. And everything else is crumbling. So, thanks, Grace. Good word this morning. Thank you. Other notes for praise? Yes, Ermgard. Yes, Ermgard. The what? The appointment for his fast card was
July
16th.
But he says it's okay. He says he's fine. He's getting to semi-retire. And he said,
yeah. Let the Lord deal with it.
Yeah, so. But I have one prayer request. He is getting his pension from Canada.
Okay.
So he's still having to get it from Germany. So he's getting a little anxious.
Okay. We'll pray for that, definitely. Anybody else want a fast card? Yeah. I would prefer a fast pass to Disney. Isn't that what you're thinking? Yeah, let's do it. Yeah, I think so. Okay. Roy, you want a fast card for what before?
No, I just wanted to say that, you know, everybody knows what Sheila is. She said to me, hey, she thinks that in the period of us, God has sent his angels to be born again. Because in the last few days, we've had so many. People got to buy relevant, concerned about us. We had people deliver food for us. I mean, food is beautiful food. Just I didn't know it.
Do you have too much? But that's lovely. That's lovely. You know what, Roy? We often don't realize how much people care and think about us till we're going through a trial. You know, but like you said, you're seeing the evidence of how much people love the two of you. That's fantastic. Well, you tell her we love her, we sure miss her. We're glad you're here, but we're sorry you have to still run solo. So is she able to put any weight on the ankle yet?
No.
Nothing for another couple weeks? You're going to Collingwood Hospital tomorrow. Okay. 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 So assessment tomorrow.
Yeah.
Very good. Okay, thanks for that update. Okay.
Yeah, we're not quite sure how that's going to work out right now. With the hospital, we can then have the room and all that stuff away from the hospital.
Right.
So whether
You should be fine. I had to go in for procedure in RVH. No problem. Just go in a certain door. Boom, boom, boom. Away you go. So they're still doing all the elective things, and they probably got good protocol in place for her. So we'll be praying. Absolutely. Other praise notes. Sue, and then Phil. Sue?
I just praise the Lord that we can come to church on Christmas Sunday because there's a lot of churches closed, and I thank the Lord that we could be here.
That's right. Don't take it for granted, do we? No, no. Phil?
Suzanne.
Well, I can give you an update on Suzanne. We went to visit her the other day. She's actually walking better. They've increased the steroids, as you know. And so she has her mobility back in her hand and walking. It was incredible just to see how much of a change for her. And they're self-quarantining now because they're heading to Kingston to have Christmas with that side of her family, their family, their daughter. They've had Christmas with their other daughter. So God's working in all the details, isn't he, for all of us? And we'll keep trusting him. So good news for her, and we'll keep praying for her. Other things for praise. Okay, prayer requests. Okay, sorry, Norm.
Your shaking's only started, so look up. Look around at what happened. Jerusalem is now officially the capital of Israel. The peace, Abraham peace accord. The Chinese have flexed their muscles. The Russians have flexed their muscles. They're only an hour's pony riding.
Right.
And the new caliph wants to be raised up in Turkey, and he's made an agreement with North Africa. I mean, God's putting the final puzzle together. I mean, I know things look bad for us, but look up. The birth pains are getting closer.
Yes. And the Lord's in charge, but Matthew 24 is being realized. You're right.
He's checking the church out for their faith.
He said,
"Will I see faith when I come back?" And with this that's going on, we should be looking up and not around us.
That's a good point. Yeah, very good point. Speaking of birth, we are expecting our third grandchild this week. Due date is the 21st of December, a week Monday. But I'm so... No, it's today. It's tomorrow. Yeah, what am I saying? I'm so excited. I don't remember. It's a good thing I'm not having to go to the hospital. Anyway, so we're just praying that everything goes well, and you women know what Braxton Hicks are like, and so everything's just coming along, and so hopefully... We'll be able to show you pictures. We visited with Doug and Deanne last night, that's your latest grandson, 6 weeks old. Oh, you know, I forget how tiny we all were. My dad said, "Son, when you were born, I held you in the palm of my hand."
That was small.
That's never going to happen again, Dad. Never, ever. So that was Marv's. And for prayer also for Monica, she's having her CAT scan on January 13th, and Suzanne is having her MRI this week as well. And we want to continue to pray, Bruce, for your sister-in-law, Ada, as she recoups. Does she have a date when she's going to be going home from hospital? Do we know anything? Nothing yet? Okay. So we'll continue to pray for her. And the latest, Steve Bailey, one of his coworkers has tested positive for COVID, so he's got to be tested. So he's not sure if he's going to be able to come home to have Christmas with Colin and Mark. So we'll pray that they get an answer and get that through so he can come home. And then Kathy Gooch, our missionary in South Africa, she has been hospitalized with COVID and got an email from her the other day saying that she was on oxygen and a drip. So I'm hoping we'll hear some more by this afternoon or tomorrow. But just pray for her. I think that's very scary when you're in that kind of scenario. And, of course, Jane's cousin, he's recouped. He's back at home now, so that's been good news. So a lot of good things in spite of all the situations we're going through. Unspoken requests. Unspoken?
I don't
know. Okay. Sorry, Steve?
Sorry, pray for Dominic.
Okay. Head injury. So concussion. Ah, poor guy. Yeah, he's taking a few spills. But he's at that age, too. I wonder where he learned that. There's certain genes we don't want to go forward. Okay. Father, we want to thank you for an opportunity to just not only be in your presence, but as Sue said, just to be so excited to be able to be together as a family. And Lord, for all of us who are here this day, that you would just wrap your arms around every one of us. And for those of our family that can't be here today, that wherever they are, Lord, they'll sense your presence and know that you're with them too. We pray for our families and for all the ongoing needs of our church family. First of all, we think of Monica and Suzanne, and obviously for Dominic and for Steve Bailey and for Kathy Gooch and Father, for families, Bruce's sister-in-law and other family members that come to mind. And Lord, for our community. Lord, we pray that this year they will see the reality of Christmas as they have never seen it before. I want to thank you for a fellow that called me out of the blue. He's been reading his Bible all year, and he wants to get baptized. I think it's just fantastic, some of the things you're doing. And we don't even see some of these things very often, and yet you are working. And so, Lord, again, wise men still seek you. You draw people as you drew the shepherds to the manger scene. And you're continuing to work in the hearts and the lives of men and women and boys and girls all over this world. Father, we pray for all the Samaritan purse boxes that are being delivered even this week. Lord, that the reality of these gifts and then the stories of Jesus that will be read and shared with these children would be a tremendous blessing as these are all delivered right all over the world. And Father, just for this upcoming week, you go before us. You direct us in our thinking, in our attitudes, in our wills, in our emotions. And as Grace mentioned, sometimes we need to just stop and remind ourselves that on Christ, the solid rock I stand, because we have such a love and a fellowship with you as our Heavenly Father, as our Savior, as our Comforter. And so as we continue on now through this time, we just ask you to bless it in Christ's name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Okay. Everybody just stand up for just a minute and look down and just lift your mask, catch a breath, because by the time I'm done preaching, you're going to be breathless, okay? All right. Yes. There's a song. Oh, okay. Thank you for letting me know. Does everybody catch a breath? Now, if you're married, you might want to kiss the person beside you. Whatever it takes, you do what you have to. Okay, are we organized? Okay, ladies, you've got something special for us. Okay, you may be seated.
Well, the night Christ was born, we hear about it, we know about it, we read about it, but do we really grasp what happened that night? I don't think we do, like the shepherds and the star, the wonder of it. I think it truly was a holy night.
Thank you.
Ladies, thank you. Again, that great reminder, O Night Divine. I want to talk to you again about the wise men. I have been absolutely fascinated in the things that I've been studying about the wise men this year. And so I want to pick up some of the things that we left off from last week. And again, the reminder from Matthew chapter 2, and you'll remember these words. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Again, how far did these fellows come? Approximately 1,000 kilometers. Their numbers, not 2 or 3, but a whole entourage. Where did they go? To the current king of Judea, the one they knew, Herod. And they get to his chambers, his court, and they said, "Look, we are here for a very specific reason." It's interesting to me that they weren't afraid to beat around the bush. When they arrived, they said to him, in essence, "We know you're not the king. And we have come to worship the king because we've been following his star." And we discussed last week about the reality of that great star that was foretold even by Balaam 1,500 years before it arose. And so here they are in the presence of Herod, and I can't imagine the tension that must have been in that room. You're the present king, and wise men from the east are coming with gifts for whom? You? Or some unknown babe born somewhere nearby? And you've been traveling for how long? You could have cut the tension, I think, with a knife. Now, let's unpack this idea of wise men or magi, because I think there's a lot of misinterpretation of what these mean. And, of course, it goes back to what I said. This was a group out of Persia that came back 600 years before the birth of Christ. They were literally a group, I would say, if we were to analyze them today, because they had knowledge of various world religions. They were very knowledgeable in medicine. They were very knowledgeable in science. They were very knowledgeable in astronomy. It made them literally the wise men of the known world. As we would, you know, if you think back over our studies in school and things, the different men who were considered wise men of the day. I mean, we had Francis Bacon, and we had, you know, we had Copernicus. We had different men throughout history that were wise in terms of an understanding of specific things. Remember, the big issue was, does the earth revolve around the sun, or does the sun revolve around the earth? Is the earth flat, or is the earth round? And so wise men down through the ages have always taken a very particular look at nature and the reality of the world that we live in. So that was your one group. And the interesting thing was, these were very respected men. And by the time of the birth of Christ, what I just found out this week, is these men were well known throughout the Mediterranean. In other words, literally, they would be coming into different areas to literally teach. And so cities would literally invite what I would call the visiting professors to come and speak. And they would, you know, be maybe at the amphitheater, or in some kind of a building presentation that would house large numbers of people. And so there were two types of people. So there were these learned men who brought with them a wealth of wisdom. And the other thing is that by New Testament times, there was a second type of, quote, wise men. And if you remember your ancient history, Philo was an apologist but also a historian, and he stated that the second type, and let me quote this to you, were ones that used charms, incantations, and astrology. And he said, these wise men, quote-unquote, being sarcastic, were considered to be venomous creatures who were no more than parasites. And what they were doing is they were going around in the community, they were taking advantage of people for money and performing all kinds of of incantations. And what happened is that by 19 AD, so that's well into the middle of Christ's own life, that people were falling prey to this group so much that literally the emperor Tiberius banished, now get this, because they called themselves astrologers. He literally banished all astrologers from the Roman Empire. So that included fortune telling, tarot cards, horoscopes, seances, you name it, palm readings. They were literally banished, and yet they were considered to be wise men. My question is, today, what kind of wise men do we have trekking around our society? Or wise women, so to speak. And so, when we think of the wise men coming to see Jesus, let's be really clear what kind of wise men we're talking about. All right, I want to be clear on that. The next point that I wanted to remind you of is, remember I said last week that these men would have studied the world religions. And so they would have studied the Jewish canon. And the Jewish canon is made up of three parts. It's made up of the prophets, the writings, and the law. The law, of course, is the first five books of the Bible that we call the Torah or the Pentateuch, and that was written by Moses. But they would have studied the rest of Jewish canon, because if we look at things like the prophets or we look at the writings, they would have literally studied Daniel. And so they would have known that there was a 490-year timeline to the reality of the Messiah coming to the earth and what he would have done on the earth for the forgiveness of sins. And then the catastrophe, a cataclysmic fight, Armageddon, everything. But they would have studied men like Daniel, as well as they would have studied men like Balaam's situation that Moses recorded. All right? So again, when we think of wisdom, and remember, these are not Jewish men. These are Gentiles that are coming to worship. And so King Herod and the Israelites, the Israelite leaders, who would all been what? Primarily, the Israelite leaders are what? Jews. Now, there would have been some Romans that would have come as part of Herod's delegation or, you know, liaison officers from all over the Roman Empire. But primarily, everybody that was with Herod was Jewish. And so when these Gentile men come and they say, okay, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we've come to worship him. And it wasn't necessarily a worship based on, I want to be careful how I say this, on belief in a Messiah, but the fact that they're worshiping because he's a king. And so there is that sense of genuflection, of honoring, you are a king, and we recognize you're a king. What's interesting to me is they didn't take it in terms of what they saw, because he was not a man, he was a child. And so here would have been this young child in Mary's arms when they arrived at wherever they were located in Bethlehem, and they worshipped a child because they saw who he was, not actually who he was. And doesn't that mean something to us? We worship the king who's not a babe, but is seated at the right hand of God and is interceding for you and I. And I see that as a position of incredible strength and power. And so as they stood before King Herod and his whole entourage, they pulled out Micah, which of course is part of the Jewish canon. And again, and I said to you again last week, and I'll say it to you again, but as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one will go forth for me to be what? What's it say? The garbage man? The shingler of the roofs? Not that there's anything wrong with those jobs, but what's he to be? The ruler of Israel. And his going forth are from long ago. What's that mean? Before the foundation of the world, he existed. We went over that last week. And he's going to exist from the days of eternity, which means there's no end to him. And Herod would have listened as the Jewish scribe would have read what was pulled out of Micah What do you think Herod's first thought probably was? I can't win. But maybe I can. Yes, but maybe I can. So after you've gone and worshipped him, come and bring me word so that I can worship him too. You know, Herod was called the cunning fox. That was his nickname. And so, without further ado, the wise men went to Bethlehem, 4 miles or so from Herod's headquarters in Jerusalem. And what's interesting in all of this is even when they left, the religious leaders of the day, who were the Jews, didn't say anything. They didn't say, hey, fellas, you're onto something. If it's in our book, we're coming too. And so they all traipsed over to Bethlehem to worship the king along with these wise men from the east. Right? Isn't that what the Bible says? I find that fascinating. Because in their very book that says where and when he's to be born, they went, okay. But the reality was they were completely indifferent to it. And this is long before Jesus started his ministry, where they started to hate him 30 years later. I find that fascinating, that even with all the evidence that God was presenting to his very own people, the spiritual leaders who should have known the facts said, whatever, who cares? That's very interesting. Because again, where was their focus?
On their power and control.
Their immediate situation. And I got it real comfy, cozy. And if we're talking about some babe, I ain't worrying about him, because I'll probably retire before he even is old enough to know his name. Again, what does that say about the fact of how Satan can get in the midst of people because of sheer indifference? I hope that you and I never lose our incredible enthusiasm for the reality of who Jesus is in his birth, his life, his death. What's the world going to say? Wow, what's so exciting? And so we have milestones like a Christmas season to be able to say, Jesus is the reason for the season. You mean not Santa Claus? No, let me tell you why. And so again, we go back to Scripture, Matthew 2, and I want to read these that I think is very interesting. And so after listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was, 4 miles or so away. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Family, here's something else. If we lose the element of worship this Christmas season, we've lost everything. We've lost everything. And then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, which of course, after they went to Egypt, Joseph was able to use it to establish a business and keep the family from going bankrupt. God even had the gifts ready to take them on their way. And Egypt, of course, with frankincense and myrrh, of course, those are a big selling feature for them because of embalming. And then warned in a dream. What happened? They departed to their own country by another way. So I thought, since dreams were so important, what about dreams today? Are they still important? I think when God wants to speak, he is quite capable of using dreams. Now, I don't know about you, but I eat certain foods and I have certain kinds of dreams. These aren't the kinds of dreams we're talking about. You know, I know if I eat rutabaga, something's going to happen. But this is what the reality is. Remember Joseph? He had a dream. Let me bring it up to date. Here's a couple of stories that I think you're going to find fascinating. This is a young lady by the name of Miriam. She was brought up in the Middle East. She went off to college and only to find that all first-year Muslim students had to study the Quran, and if they didn't pass the course, they couldn't graduate. She'd grown up in a nominal Muslim family, and so she began to read the Quran for the first time. That same night, she said, I had a dream. 2 days later, the same dream occurred, and then the third time, shortly thereafter in my dreams, I saw a man. His voice was so lovely, I couldn't walk on. I asked him who he was. He said to me, I'm Jesus. Now remember, 3 nights, what's she doing? Dreaming. I'm Jesus. She then connected with some Christians, began to go to a church, started to read the Bible, and through this, she knew that she'd found the real God. He wasn't simply up in the sky. He was beside me. I am so happy. I am like a child. I have found my Father. I have found God. If I lose him, he comes to find me. If I do something wrong, he tells me to come to him and know his forgiveness. I love this God. Isn't that cool? Dreams. Here's another one. In one city in the Middle East, there are so many Muslims coming to Christ through dreams that one church took out an ad in the local newspaper which said, if you've seen the man in white in your dreams, call this number. The response is that their phone hasn't stopped ringing. Interestingly, people are not coming to faith on their own. Jesus is appearing and encouraging them to go to a church or read a Bible or talk to a certain person to find the peace that they're looking for. A friend of the Open Doors, who runs the Palestinian Bible Society, shared that they gave away 5,000 Bibles to individuals in just one weekend. Muslims kept approaching the man who was giving away these Bibles and saying, is this the book that the man in white told me to read while I was dreaming? Come on, family, get your head around this one. This is amazing. Here's another one. I got this one from Campus Crusade. In Iran, one of our men was carrying Bibles in his car on the road close to the Iran-Iraq border where the Kurds live when suddenly his steering wheel locked. He was approached by a Kurd. Do you have the books? Asked the man. What books? Of course, it can be dangerous carrying Bibles. The books that will tell us how to know the great high God who made heaven and earth. In our village, we were praying to be forgiven and know God, and we had a communal vision that if we'd be on this road, on this day, at this time, somebody would come bringing books that would tell us how to know God. Do you have the books? Yes, I have the books. The Kurd bought the Bibles with money collected from his people and left. Our man found that his steering wheel was no longer locked. Of course, he made a U-turn, went back across the other border. He said he felt an angel had jammed it, and the entire Kurdish village is now... This story, I'll leave this one to you as I complete this one today. Stephen Gurley had a tremendous burden for leading men in American lumber camps to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit compelled him. So he would go all over the place. And one day he arrived at a camp and found it totally deserted, for the men had gone out into the forest. Feeling nevertheless that he'd been sent there by the Holy Spirit, he stood up in the empty mess hall, delivered his sermon, heard, as he thought, only by the board walls of the building and the lofty trees of the forest. Now, I came close to that this year, because none of you were here. But he preached, and he preached his heart out. Years later, as he was crossing London Bridge in the evening gloom, he was somewhat rudely stopped by a man who accosted him and said, "You're the man I've been looking for all these years. I found you at last." There must be some mistake, said Gurley. "I've never seen you." "No," said the man, "but did you not preach at a lumber camp in the American forest?" "Yes, but there was no one there." "I was there," said the man. "I heard the sermon." Then he went on to relate to Stephen how he'd come back from where the men were working to get a saw that had been left behind when he was startled and alarmed at hearing the sound of a man's voice. Approaching the building, he looked through a chink of the logs and saw Grillet standing by himself preaching the sermon. He listened to the entire sermon. As the preacher preached, he was convicted of sin, got a copy of the Bible, learned the way of life, was saved, and has now brought others into the kingdom of heaven with him. Because one wise man decided he had to go to a lumber camp only to find it deserted, and God said, "Huh, you ain't seen nothing yet." So here's my question as I conclude this morning. You and I are all wise men and women. We've been called by God to serve him. My question is, where is he going to lead you this week? Who is he going to have you talk to? Or maybe you won't think you're talking to anybody. I'm actually giving you permission to talk to yourself, because maybe when you talk faith things to yourself, somebody will be listening. So if you're at a red light and you feel the need to talk to yourself, roll your window down. Somebody will hear you walking by. The reality is the world needs us. And the world needs our message. And the world needs the one that we follow more than ever. So wise men and women, what's it going to be this week? I hope in the next couple of weeks you come back and give me all kinds of great reports. And I'll share too. Father, wise men and women are being called by you every day. And the reality is, it's all about focus. If we're truly focused on our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, then I believe that you are going to teach us things and show us things and lead us to places and have us talk to people and experience things that are absolutely going to be beyond our human belief, because we're talking about a supernatural, divinely working, powerful God. And so, Lord, the wise men of 2,000 years ago did their part. And their testimony is what we have read about even this day. And then we've heard stories of others who have in dreams had Jesus talk to them or responded to what their calls were as you spoke to them and to their minds and their hearts. And Lord, now it comes down to all of us in this room and those who are listening to this YouTube presentation. Where are you going to lead us this week? And again, our words that need to come from our mouths every day is, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And so, Father, send us out. We're all ambassadors for you. We're all going to be in different locations throughout this entire week. And as we come into this Christmas day and advent of the birth of Christ that we so remember, Lord, remind us that you're still working and you're still drawing people to yourself, that they might find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise your name. You're a magnificent God. Amen. Bless the Lord. How about, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Let's stand and let's sing this together as we conclude this morning. Little town. Thank you. Father, remind us that this story is simply not just about a baby. This is about a babe who was your begotten son, who agreed to come in that form in order to walk and talk with men and women and boys and girls, and then to rise and sit at your right hand to superintend and oversee all that he has made. And so, Lord, with confidence we head into this week knowing that you go before us, that you are directing us, that you are supervising, that you're aware of even every thought in our mind, and you're the great leader of the church. And we, as your bride, march on with you. The army going into this land to find men and women who want to join and be saved and be set free and have a relationship with you as we do. Lord, it's going to be a tremendous week. We look forward with anticipation to what you're going to do. And again, speak to us because we are listening. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord.